It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running on this 8th day of June 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go when you, if you want to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And where, if you do pop in, you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Otto and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated because Sparky had some errands to run and necessities to attend to. You will be capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! Yeah, so we are off and running, and let's see. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is, of course, no different. And that means many, many thanks go out this evening. Well, thanks go out this evening to our 8th day of the month subscribers. And so that means thank you very kindly to Brendan. Thank you very kindly, Brendan. And thank you to Susan. Thank you to Dwayne. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you to Marsha. Thank you all so much for being partial sponsors of the program. And with Brendan jumping in last night, that takes down the Tracy's stand and funk challenge to $15. That's on the table right now. Thank you very kindly to Tracy from last night, and thank you, Brendan, for addressing part of that. That means the fundraising goal for the evening is at $535. That's $300 for this evening, $245 for yesterday, and hopefully we can knock some of that out and not be dealing with a ginormous hole to fill in. There's another challenge on the table as well, courtesy of our dear friend Ralphs. Ralphs contacted me earlier today and put a challenge on the table. And I wanted to make sure that I let you know. It is the Reverend Barber meets Joe Manchin $50 challenge. So if we can raise $50, Ralphs will double it, and that'll get us down to $435, and then the other $15 of Tracy's challenge will get us down to under $300, and we'll be getting close. We'll get closer to actually finishing off Monday. So thank you, Ralphs. Challenge refers to is yesterday. And I found out about it right after the program went off the air, or after the program closed. Reverend William Barber is going to lead his Poor People's Campaign to West Virginia on Monday, and he's going to lead a march. to Joe Manchin's office. Because Joe has a local office, and I guess they're still working out the logistics. But that being the case, I should make a program note to the effect that it is possible that there will be no program on Monday because I'm damned well going to attend that. We will be needing massive numbers to back up the statistical information we have, namely that in this state, poor little beaten, bedraggled, blasted, blown up, gouged, poisoned, and otherwise incinerated West Virginia, some 81% of registered Democrats, something like 73% of independents, and 71% of Republicans in straightforward polling data support the For the People Act that Joe Manchin says that will tear the binds, yeah, not bonds, but binds of democracy. Remember last week he said he was not going to placate to his own party. And in the last couple of days, we found out about the binds of democracy. I don't know about you, but that sounds a little kinky to me. But we'll let that go. So I plan to participate in that march. And I hope it doesn't interfere with the program. I will try to get back here and do a program. And like I said, I'm still waiting on the particulars. It would be great if it happened in the morning. Then I would know that I would be home on time. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. Sometimes I forget that part. I'm so used to the conversation and the community we have here. We welcome new members of the community. We always do that. But I think it was downright ironic. Because we were talking about that very thing on the program last night, namely that there needs to be massive amounts of pressure applied to Joe Manchin to get him to turn away from the wickedness that grips his soul. Yes. The program is live, Steve. It is, I think I mentioned earlier, the 8th day of June, 2021. The fundraiser, maybe refresh your, maybe refresh your screen. Let me check here. Oh, God, details. Click. Yeah, it does say funding goal for June 4th. It is June the 8th, and the funding goal is presently 535. Okay? So thanks for calling that to my attention, Steve. I do appreciate it. We'll get into some of this Joe Manchin stuff in fairly short order, but to get us started, of course, Robin, a home run in Hudson. Joey writes, let's start out today with some updates. Last week, Robin and I discussed the disgusting Byron Tanner Cross, you know, the physical education teacher who refused to address transgender children according to their self-identified gender. Cross sued the school district, claiming the school board's actions were retaliatory in nature and violated his constitutional right to freedom of speech and religion. Well, Jeffrey's not going to leave that one alone. We're not going to get any peace. I just find it so interesting that people such as Cross are really only interested in their own constitutional rights and freedoms, but when it comes to everybody else's rights to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, well, hell, we can't have any of those kinds of constitutional considerations for those who may have a different gender persuasion. Of course, Cross is being represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, a conservative Christian nonprofit that the likes of Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A, support, and then Cathy lies, well, he's dead. Dan Cathy's running things now, and claims that he does not support such organizations. You know, that honest, God-fearing Christian man just lies through his teeth, or should I say just lies through his Chicklets. Chick-fil-A. See what Jeffrey did there? Because he's just a good God-fearing Christian man. Meanwhile, the school board did reinstate Cross, even though he may have crossed the line of compassion and decency that his spiritual leader, Jesus, espouses. Well, good job, Jeffrey. Funny thing, I don't think Jesus ever spoke a word about LGBTQQIA plus people in his time on this earth, but somehow these so-called Christians seem to think so. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, when we were talking about Byron Tanner Cross, Byron, were I a parent there, I would make sure that the school board instructed Mr. Cross to have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with my child if I had a trans child. And frankly, given his behavior, I would instruct the school to not allow Byron Tanner Cross to have anything to do with my cis child either. Because he's, by his own admission, he is willing to abuse children. So, there's that. Meanwhile, in Hudson, Ohio, Joey notes, the home of abolitionist John Brown and our friends Pollyanna Wanacracker and her husband Cracker Jack, you may remember the fascist bigots last week shutting off the microphone when Lieutenant Colonel Bernard Kempter began to recognize the fact that black slaves honored the fallen Union soldiers who died during the Civil War. Well, that American Legion Hall has been ordered to close. State American Legion officials suspended Post 464 until it is permanently closed. They also demanded the official involved with the incident resign, saying the American Legion Department of Ohio does not hold space for those who believe censoring black history is acceptable behavior. And that makes Jeffrey and Joey proud to say that they're from Ohio. And speaking of enslaved people, on this day in 1712, the Pennsylvania Colonial Assembly voted to ban the further importation of slaves into the Keystone Commonwealth. Oh, no. Jeffrey has a key statement. Yes, however, the state did allow the Pittsburgh Pirates to form and pirate wealth from African Americans by utilizing redlining tactics in Philadelphia neighborhoods and by not allowing black veterans access to VA loans. Jeffrey, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a baseball team, and they didn't have anything to do with home lending. Oh, I beg to differ with you, Joey. These sinister banks and lenders used the technique of blockbusting and virtually stole homes from people in what later would be known as a run on the homes or a home run. You know, sometimes you have to wonder if there's any point to even trying with that giraffe. And last night, Tracy was talking about New Orleans, and all I have to say is, when in the French Quarter, you must go to Brennan's and have the Bananas Foster ice cream treat for dessert. It is yummy. I have had it. Galatoire's as well, but you got to dress up a bit for that. The dessert is to die for, with the rum, cinnamon, brown sugar, butter all in the fryer, and added the diced bananas with walnuts, and then the ice cream on top, and you have a classic Creole dessert concoction, and it's a delight. And speaking of Creoles and home runs, yesterday on this date in 1892, Homer Plessy, a Creole of color, was arrested for refusing to leave a whites-only car of the East Louisiana Railroad. Ruling on his case, the Supreme Court upheld separate but equal racial segregation, a concept it renounced only in 1954 in Brown v. Board. If you like your legal history, one of the most fascinating dissents ever written is to be found in Plessy v. Ferguson, and it is authored by Justice Harlan, who said this decision will be a stain on this court forevermore, and he was absolutely right. And it took, 58 years. 58 years of unmitigated misery and evil before the Supreme Court would act and overturn the concept of separate but equal in Brown v. Board of Education. And again, yesterday, on this day in history, 1965, the U.S. Supreme Court in Griswold v. Connecticut, struck down by a 7-2 vote a Connecticut law used to prosecute a Planned Parenthood clinic in New Haven for providing contraceptives to married couples. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering, guess who an early supporter of Connecticut Planned Parenthood was? Yeah. Prescott Bush, father of Daddy Bush. you know, HW. Grandfather of W. Mm-hmm. And Jebya. And we'll let Jeffrey wrap things up with quite a contracept. I find it not to be of a coincidental nature that this horrible Connecticut law was smitten the exact year that Darlene in Connecticut was born, because let's face it, that state would be no match for Darlene's powerful legal prowess, counseling capacity, not to mention her exquisite use of the English language and titanic legal and political parlance. Yes, the Supreme Court informed the cons in Connecticut to discontinue with such a draconian law, and in justice to women, or years later they would have to deal with the wrath of Darlene. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 8th day of June, 2021, with Giraffrey dialing Darlene for his daily Supreme Council. And there's the $10 Darlene for Supreme Court challenge on the table. And well-deserved it is. So, the other thing about Griswold versus Connecticut is that it establishes, for basically the first time, the right to privacy in one's home. And that would later support the ruling in Roe versus Wade. And I've long said that the ultimate goal of the fetus fetishists in this country is to strike down that very right of privacy. I think it was Fat Dead Tony Scalia who opined in Bowers versus Hardwick out of Georgia that there was no right to privacy in the Constitution of the United States. That's one of the quiet parts they haven't said out loud so much. They would the fetus fetishists and the right wing and the religion industry would really like to get rid of the right to privacy, because then they can get rid of birth control pills and abortion and morning after pills and condoms and essentially send women barefoot and pregnant back into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Steve said, you and Tracy talking last night, that conversation really got me thinking. In the Hitler book I'm reading, there are photos of Hitler at the Obersalzberg, his compound in the mountains above Obersalzberg, Germany. Something about those photographs always struck me as almost fake because of the enormous contrast with such pure evil juxtaposed against almost unimaginable pristine beauty. The conversation with Tracy last night gave me one of those, eureka moments. I'm including a couple of photos to illustrate my point. Well, evil people go to nice places, too. I mean, San Clemente wasn't too shabby, nor was Key Biscayne, both of which were hideaways for Richard Pinhead Nixon, as Harry Truman called him. And so there's $75 worth of challenges on the table, which hopefully will be met. And that'll get us down from 545 to about $400. 350, actually, which would be awesome. 350. As to binding our democracy, Bill Bullrick says, Joe Manchin is placating to the GOP so that it can bind democracy in its cradle. You seen any of the ads that the Chamber of Commerce and Heritage Foundation are running in West Virginia in support of Manchin's quixotic quest for the bipartisan voting reform unicorn? Oh, I know, they're going, Alec is going great guns, telling people to, email Joe Manchin and tell him to protect the GOP, I mean filibuster. Mm-hmm. We sure could get some things done if we could get rid of that damned racist anachronism, no doubt about it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Megan says, but the impression I get is Joe Manchin suddenly finds himself in an important position and he's drawing it out in order to keep the cameras on him, even if drawing it out means sudden hesitation on a vote vital to preserving democracy. Again, just my impression, because I've seen nothing resembling sense or reason coming out of this man, and seems to enjoy having the cameras on him a little too much. I don't know if applying pressure on him will work or if it'll just keep feeding his need to look important. I suppose we'll see when the heat gets turned up on him and whether he still likes that seat or not. Megan, with all due respect, dear, he's not up for re-election until 2024. He honestly could not care less. Notice the correct usage there. He could not care less what the voters in this state or any other state think. The most viable strategy to solve the Gordian knot, the conundrum of Joe Manchin, is to bust our asses supporting viable candidates in places like Wisconsin and Florida, where we have a chance to replace horrible Republican senators. If you assume that there are two essential problem senators in Joe Manchin and Kirsten Curtsy Cinema, if you make that assumption, then you need to add at least two senators. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is up for re-election in Kentucky. That might help getting rid of him. I saw reference somewhere to the notion that all this business with Manchin amounts to him mounting a bid to oust Rand Paul as the most hated person in the United States of America. Could be. Ron in Raleigh with a query. Does my size 13s up Joe's ass count as pressure? A pissed off real Democrat asking for a friend. He couldn't care less. He sincerely could not care less. Because he's getting talking points. I said in a conversation earlier today, obviously off air, that someone is giving him horrible information. Terrible information. And bad history into the bargain. And that someone needs to be able to speak to him equal to equal, more in sorrow than in anger, and try to educate him because, well, he's really not that sharp. As a member of that family, if he had been that sharp, he frankly probably wouldn't be in West Virginia politics. I know that sounds maybe a little bit mean, but it's also a whole lot true. Gone are the days when politics in this state, and frankly many others, drew from a talent pool that is of wise and learned individuals. That ship has mostly sailed. But somehow or another, it's only fair to explain to him just how much bullshit he's been fed and how bad it makes him look. Relative to context, those pictures that Steve sent along, you and Tracy were both talking about the beauty of the South contrasted with all its awfulness. That was what I was getting at. I forgot to mention this, and the email I just sent almost read like a really big non sequitur. By the way, the first time I drove on state roads in West Virginia served also as one of those moments. I remember driving on these utterly gorgeous mountains in West Virginia's roadways, thinking exactly as you both spoke about last night. Yeah, I know. And if you live here, and if you actually care about people, think of someone besides yourself. Agnes and I were out and about a bit today. I had to go to the doctor and things like that. And we were sort of dialoguing on the fact that this place will break your heart. The people of this place will break your heart. For the same reason that poverty exists anywhere. Because it works for corporate America. Because it works for capitalism. capitalism thrives on ignorance and poverty and misery, because it's played as a zero-sum game where, in order for people to be fabulously wealthy, you have to have people who are miserably poor. That's all. Yeah. In the ongoing Freudian inquiry of what does Joe Manchin want? Well, there is money. There's money involved. In American politics, there will always be money involved. And so, yes, Americans for Prosperity, which is a gang of coke suckers. Dave is still dead. And right down there getting the reverse pineapple right next to Flush Flimball, another darling of those two toxic individuals. Americans for Prosperity has been hustling a campaign to make sure Manchin defeats the For the People Act. And they've been doing it since 2018 with their Mountaineer Minute. And you have to remember that the Kochs are also aligned with ALEC. And for eons now, Joe Manchin has been one of the few Democratic members of ALEC. And it's really disgusting because, among other things, Americans for Prosperity have a page on their website that are called West Virginia Values. When no one in Americans for Prosperity would know a West Virginia value if it hit them over the head with their coal miner dinner bucket. No. But just to give you an idea of what's going on, what the Koch organization and Americans for Prosperity think are Mountaineer values. Well, let's see. Medicare for All is not a Mountaineer value, even though we support it. And the Green New Deal that would probably bring boatloads of jobs is not a Mountaineer value. The letter says, these run counter to the values of folks here in the Mountain State. Mm-hmm. It also calls on Joe Manchin to oppose the pro-union, pro-act, to oppose increasing the minimum wage. And, to make sure that we don't get any improvements to infrastructure. So that gives us a little bit of an idea who's driving the Manchin bus. But in the final analysis, you do have to remember that the constituency of Joe Manchin is a little Venn diagram of people named Manchin. And that includes, maiden names. Like Heather Bresch, his daughter. Retired. Retired in her 50s and younger than me. But, she's still got, I'm sure she's got a portfolio just busting at the seams with Mylan stock or whatever they're called now that they've been acquired. And gosh, maybe, like we said before, maybe a gajillion dollar government contract for them to manufacture a bunch of vaccine. Maybe that would be the very thing. Or how about booster shots? Huh? Could we do that? And Ron in Raleigh had a note earlier, just as I thought, Ron wrote, when Joe Biden was elected, my main concern was that a lot of the egregious policies of the Trump administration would remain in place, leaving the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem being one. The attacks on Sheikh Jarrah and the Al-Aqsa Mosque being a tangential result. Vice President Kamala Harris going to Guatemala and telling people who might come north to not come, even though international law says that people can seek asylum and are not criminals, as Ms. Harris intimated. Vice President Harris. The continued backing of the murderous Saudi regime. I'm so done with the feckless, weak-kneed Democratic response to nearly every crisis, as Jeremy Scahill said about Biden. He will always find the middle and run there, just like Obama. And that's how he got elected president. And that's the only way we got a Democratic president. And he is doing good things. He's just not quite ideologically pure enough for us. But I'm trying really hard to make sure that I do not allow the perfect to become the enemy of the good. And one more infuriating thing, Ron notes, and that is that the Biden Department of Justice has denied E. Jean Carroll her day in court by saying that Donald Trump's defamation of her was somehow within the scope of the presidency. What the fuck? I know, that was my first response, and pretty much everybody's first response. Jesus H. Christ, is this a bad look? This is how the orange skid mark keeps getting away with murder, Ron notes. Also, Judge Benitez calling an assault rifle the equivalent of a Swiss Army knife and a great choice for home and personal protection, which, if you know anything about this weapon at all and the ammo it uses, you got to know that unless you live in a rural area, letting go with a spray of high-velocity 223 rounds endangers anyone nearby. I guess you can kill everybody and let God sort them out. Well, Benitez, as pointed out last night, was just, all he was doing was using NRA talking points and passing them off as a judicial opinion. But there is something to be borne in mind, and that is this. I feel 99.999999% certain that there was no call that went from DOJ to the White House or White House to the DOJ, from Merrick Garland to Joe Biden or from Joe Biden to Merrick Garland, to talk about this E. Jean Carroll thing. This is purely the business of the DOJ behaving like the DOJ and protecting the prerogatives of the presidency regardless of whom the president is. And they will always do that. Republican attorneys general will do that. Democratic attorneys general will do that. Because otherwise, someday it could conceivably wreck a presidency without even thinking about whether it would, you know, what the partisan politics of it are. I don't like it, but I understand it. The optics are absolutely shit awful. And I kind of wish that phone call had been made. Because this is another one of those little moments that's going to make 2022 all the more difficult. Because we are so prone on our side of the political aisle to Achilles-like go and sulk in our tents. Because we didn't get to bring the young, lovely priestess Briseis home with us to rape. I mean, that's what happens in the Iliad. So it's worth thinking about. And anything I say won't have will have no impact. I guess it called for some level of a decision. And Merrick Garland got it wrong. But one of the things that I was talking about way back when Barack Obama nominated him to the Supreme Court and he couldn't even get a meeting with Republican senators, one of the things that I pointed out is that Merrick Garland is no Justice Brennan. He's certainly no Thurgood Marshall. He's no Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He issued a lot of rulings in his career on the federal bench that were pro-cop, and this is in line with that. Now, let's be clear. Garland's decision does not deny E. Jean Carroll her place, her day in court. it theoretically denies her a day in court over a question of whether Donald J. Trump slandered her, defamed her character. But the underlying claim of rape is not affected by this because it is something that happened before he became president. Okay? So you know, there are two issues at work there. And I hope we can at least kind of keep keep that in mind. And under the subject line, do not come, words uttered by Vice President Harris in Guatemala. Flavio says, AOC has a point, but in my honest opinion, I think Biden and Harris know the history of U.S. interventions in Central America, and hopefully they're trying to make up for that history. I think the do not come remark, while unfortunate, is something she has to say so Republicans can't say the Biden administration is for illegal immigration. And we're silly if we think that that isn't part of the consideration. This administration knows that remember, when Bill Clinton first took office in 1993, January 20th, 1993, there was no Fox News. That would be a couple of more years in coming. And that is when the political mediascape changed. I mean, sure, CNN had been running Crossfire. And that was and therein lay the origins of the career of Fucker Carlson. But the one thing that did stand out is that the Biden administration is talking about trying to do something to make it better for people to be able to stay in countries like Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. You notice nobody ever talks about illegal immigration from Costa Rica. You ever wonder why that is? I mean, it's a tiny little country. It's still got people in it. But I would dare say that more American tourists go from here to Costa Rica than Costa Rican nationals try to come here to live, because they have a functioning democracy. They have a president who only gets to serve one term for 5 years. They have no standing army. And yet somehow or another, none of the other countries around them have overrun them, to the best of my knowledge. And that country is still solid and stable. Maybe because we never screwed with it much. We screwed with everybody. Who was it? Was it Eugene Hassenfuss, who was running his skeevy, sketchy CIA operation out of a little dirt airstrip in Costa Rica? That seems to... Was it Hassenfuss? Or am I thinking of someone else? Iran-Contra was so long ago. I was so young. But everywhere we have set our hand in Central America, bad shit has happened. Remember, Guatemala was it the second CIA coup after we ran the one on Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, democratically elected Prime Minister of Iran? Yeah. Costa Rica, the Switzerland of Central America, exactly what I was thinking, Billable. And yes, Darlene, you did hear right. Did I hear Darlene in Connecticut writes, did I hear Joey nominate me for the SCOTUS? I was absorbed capturing a tick that was crawling up on my leg. I initially thought it was a spider, so I flicked it off. Then I thought, hey, that could be a tick, because it isn't really moving like a spider. I found it again as it had fallen onto my wheelchair and was trying to make its way back up the chair to get to me. I just captured and flushed the little disease-carrying bastard down the toilet. Now I've got the creepy crawlies, and I'm checking myself all over. Ew. Ah, ooh, ooh, ooh. Darlene, I just had a full-body sympathy shiver for you. So I will accept the nomination for the SCOTUS. Thank you, Joey. They get the summer months off, and seeing that I'm good at capturing and flushing disease-borne ticks, I'd start with Brett Kavanaugh once I'm confirmed. Next! Oh, that was quality, Darlene. I didn't see that coming at all. That was beautiful. And thank you for the confirmation from Billable Rick, serving as the as a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Eugene Hassenfuss did run drugs for the Contras from Costa Rica. Glad to know the carboniferous computer in my head is still hanging onto some stuff with some accuracy. Under the subject line, appeasement, David in South Carolina, Stan, reminds us, the limits of bipartisanship. A Senate report blames the Capitol Police for Capitol attack. To get GOP buy-in, the report omits Trump's role, election lies, even the word insurrection. Bipartisanship with the GOP, who bury basic truths, keeping lies and danger alive, feels like appeasing terrorists. Well, you know, we've been doing that for a little over a year because maggot governors from Ron Monkey up DeKlantis to Steve Ducey in Arizona to Governor Meemaw in Alabama and Colonel Governor Taint Reeves of Mississippistan have all proven themselves, and of course don't forget McGovern in South Carolina, have all proven themselves capable of being quite thoroughly bioterrorists. Biden's bad ones. Steve in New York says, I completely agree with the folks here on the Horn about the latest Vice President Harris BS in Guatemala and the Merrick Garland decision. However, this is one of those times where we have to look at it and realize that with Biden, he is at least a person we can persuade. Well, there's that. And there's the fact that he is behaving according to type. But he has set an ambitious agenda. And so far, you know, the get it rights are better than the missteps. And wouldn't it be lovely if we could finally unscrew Central America? Randy Radar saying, I've heals in my tongue. I've healed my tongue so far, held my tongue so far. But President Biden has allowed Venezuela to be thrown to the CIA wolves. Oh, God knows how much dirty business we've got going on. And you know, that's one of the problems of, and having a small government doesn't make this less likely. Because when Republicans talk about small government, they're not talking about a small CIA. Or a small DEA, for that matter. Or a small anything that has a goddamn gun. Flavio reminds us, Eugene Hassenfuss was from Wisconsin. His plane was shot down and he was captured in Nicaragua. And Lee says, has the statute of limitations been reached for the rape? I thought it had. I was under the impression that the case was still percolating through, maybe, because remember there was a subpoena for a DNA sample relative to the dress that she saved. I could be wrong. Maybe there aren't two cases. But it's an unfortunate decision, to say the least. I don't know. Maybe Merrick Garland will send his least effective prosecutor into court to get creamed. Ron lets me know, relative to open borders, Tucker has already said that the Biden administration has thrown open the borders to all sorts of illegal immigration, flying folks in from the Congo to New England so they can vote illegally for Democrats and Republicans. That's stupid. I'm sorry, of course they are. The Trump administration, when talked about long after I'm dead, will be known as the beginning of the end of the American Democratic experiment. Well, I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable, Ron, but I got a feeling that it will be one of the Burma shave signs. But I think, you know, maybe, you know, eons hence, when the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches who will worship us as gods for having made such a garbage dump of the planet, when they write the history, they may note that the United States talked a lot about democracy, but that's what it was mostly. Talk. Just talk. Because it turns out we're not very good at it. And the framers admitted as much in the Federalist Papers and in the ratification debates. James Madison said, listen, whatever it is we come up with, we're going to call it democracy. And the fact that you can't run for office without a gajillion dollars. Well, that's not something that happened in the Trump administration. Or the fact that you can't run for the House without a gajillion dollars. That's just old, old, old American politics. That's all. Thank you to Jeremy for meeting meeting Joey and Giraffe's Darlene for Supreme Court challenge. So that's met. So now we are down to 4:15. Thank you. No, 5:15. Ciphering's tough this evening. It's like the little string in the back of the talking Barbie. You pulled the string, and way, way, way back when, she'd say, math is hard. Yeah, so we're down to 5:15. Thank you, Jeremy. Megan says, I thought New York got rid of their statute of limitations for sex crimes. I thought it happened fairly recently. Does anyone remember this? I think I remember something like, but I don't. Yeah, Steve would probably be our best bet on that. David in South Carolina says, obstruction, same old GOP playbook, block everything, then nothing gets done and Democrats get blamed. And yeah. Oh, but by the way, in case you were wondering, since Joe Manchin does seem to be interested in a unicorn hunt over the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, well, somebody, Mitch McConnell poked his head out from his shell, and there was a reporter there who asked him his thoughts about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Would you be open to supporting the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill that Manchin and Murkowski have backed as an alternative to S1?
Well, as the majority leader said, the Voting Rights Bill is intact. The law extends well into the future. What this rewrite of it does is grant to the Justice Department almost total ability to determine the voting systems of every state in America, which they're trying to do directly.
Hold on. No. The Voting Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, is not intact. It had a big old hunk carved out of it by old dead-eyed balls and strikes John Roberts. Remember back when he was declaring that there was no such thing anymore as racism? Yeah, that John Roberts. So there we have a typical example of chinless Mitch McConnell, doing what chinless Mitch McConnell does best, to wit, lying. Hey, let's let him lie some more, shall we?
Through H.R. 1, they would try to achieve indirectly through this rewrite of the Voting Rights Act. The Supreme Court did not strike down the Voting Rights Act.
No, they struck down pre-clearance, a significant chunk of the Voting Rights Act. But Mitch, well, no one knows W.C. Fields' Three Commandments better than Mitch. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. And he's not about to smarten her up, the reporter.
It's still the law. What they struck down was the pre-clearance part of it that applied.
Yeah, the pre-clearance that applied to states with a historical habit of suppressing the votes of minorities, largely Confederate states. And that meant that before a state that was subject to pre-clearance could engage in a voter suppression scheme, they had to get a by your leave from the Department of Justice. That's what got stricken back when old Balls and Strikes declared that there was no such thing as racism in America.
Applied only to the southern part of the United States.
It applied only to the southern part of the United States. Gosh, who was engaged in actively suppressing minority votes? Huh, how about that? The southern part of the United States. Yeah, I know. I mean, three voting rights activists weren't buried in an earthen dam in Illinois. That was in one of the southern parts of the United States. You know, the same place that old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, declared states' rights forever. In Neshoba County, Mississippi, the same place where Goodman and Cheney and Schwerner were murdered by the Klan, buried in an earthen dam.
Because the Supreme Court concluded the conditions that existed in 1965 no longer existed. So,
no, a Republican majority of the Supreme Court concluded that. And this is, you know, I mentioned earlier reading Justice Harlan's dissent in Plessy. The dissent in that case is equally damning and equally correct. It was nothing but ends-based decision-making. Getting rid of the Voting Rights Act so that Republicans could get back to their, like a dog returneth to its vomit, they could get back to the business of making sure that people of color didn't vote. Well, that's been one of their fetish objects since the Civil Rights Act was passed. And just in case Joe Manchin's listening, hi, Joe. The Civil Rights Act, as it was passed in the mid-1960s, could not pass this Senate. I support the Voting Rights Act, and that was passed bipartisanly. It's true as far as it goes. It just doesn't go very far. Because back then, there were these things. They are long since extinct, called liberal Republicans. And there are these other things called moderate Republicans. And unfortunately, there are these things which are not at all extinct, called conservative Democrats. And the liberal Democrats and the liberal Republicans and the moderate Republicans got together and overwhelmed the opposition of the conservative Democrats. Like one of the senators that Joe Manchin most reveres, and I mean, of course, Robert Byrd, who tried to filibuster it. How about that? And later said of his attempt to filibuster it, the Civil Rights Act, that is, that it was one of the worst mistakes and greatest regrets of his long and storied Senate career. Because you see, Senator Byrd displayed something, because he was a towering intellect. He was a profoundly intelligent man. And he was capable of changing his views and learning. And I have no doubt that if he saw the Senate as it exists today, he would recognize almost immediately the fact that the filibuster has to go. Because the filibuster, frankly, is destroying the Senate. It's not preserving it, it's destroying it. It is destroying it as a force for good in the world, to the extent that it ever has been. And it is destroying any notion that democracy is a thing in the United States of America. Ron in Raleigh points out New York was also subject to preclearance. It wasn't just the South. That's true. That's absolutely true. But you get a sense of the ongoing willingness to tell bald-faced, by the way, not bold-faced, bald-faced lies that informs the entire existence of Mitch McConnell.
There's no threat to the voting rights law. It's against the law to discriminate in voting on the basis of race already.
Yeah, as long as you don't say it out loud, it's okay. See, that's the problem. North Carolina Republicans got caught saying it out. Well, that's why we're passing these laws. We're just trying to keep the wrong people from voting. Yeah, we all know what we mean by the wrong people. Yeah, the Voting Rights Act is under no threat. You know why? Because the Voting Rights Act hath no teeth. Because wiping out preclearance means that these voter suppression laws go into effect in these maggot states, and then it takes forever and a damn day to strike them down, and you've got a Supreme Court that, as it is currently constituted, is unwilling to even do it. Steve, adding to what Ron and Raleigh said, there are a number of states where preclearance applied to the entire state. However, there are counties in California, New York, and Michigan where preclearance applied. In fact, New York County, Manhattan, the Bronx, and Kings County, Brooklyn, were all subject to preclearance. And an interesting little piece of breaking news just came in from the New York Times. Headline, President Biden cuts off infrastructure talks with top Senate Republicans, turning to a bipartisan group of centrist senators to try to salvage a deal. And you can't say he hasn't tried. Good God. President Biden has wasted more time. They should have asked me. I could have told them. Nah, they knew. Wasted more time playing footsie with Arch Moore in a bad wig, namely Shelley Moore Capito, than he ever should have. It was laughable. She'd show up for the meetings and say, no, we still don't want an infrastructure bill that's actually got any money in it. Because, you know, we can't do that. We're America. We're the can't-do country. The New York Times reporting that President Biden concluded that Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, who is the ranking member of Environment and Public Works in the Senate, were unwilling to significantly increase the amount of new money to be invested in the nation's roads, bridges, and other public projects as part of the plan, or offer any specifics on how to pay for it, because they were doing the same old thing. Delay, delay, fail. Or, as David in South Carolina Stan puts it, obstruction, same old GOP playbook, block everything, then nothing gets done, and Democrats get blamed. So Joe Biden will try to get whatever he can in the way of a deal. Oh, back for a moment to Darlene's new tick. Christopher out in Portland says, Darlene has inspired a new parody song for me to work on. Ticking All Over, sung to Johnny Kidd's Shaking All Over. That should be fun. Darlene, says Christopher, go ahead and call the guy. Yeah, no doubt. Call the guy. Okay, yeah. And so we found our way to the first to the end of the first hour of the program. We've still got $65 in challenges on the table. The Reverend Barber Meets Joe Manchin Challenge, courtesy of Ralph's, and the remainder of Tracy's Stand and Funk Challenge. That's $15 of that, $50 of Ralph's challenge. It'd be great to knock that out. I'm sorry. You know, I hate talking about this crap. I wish there was some other way to fund this program that didn't involve, even if we had a sales department, you know, selling out to make me say, buy more gold, buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy. But in terms of an unpaid product placement, I saw something today in the grocery store. And yes, I am easily excited, but I've tasted it. It's wonderful. And it'll probably be good, you know, just generally like on, you know, on eggs or whatever. I had never seen it before. Old Bay brand hot sauce. And having tasted it, I know that sometime in the very near future, some wings are going to get smoked and grilled. They'll be brined first, of course. But then they're going to get grilled, and they're going to get tossed in a buffalo wing sauce made with this Old Bay hot sauce. It's not overbearingly hot. Not going to make your eyes water or anything, but God, it's got that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Old Bay flavor, which I do, in fact, love. And so taking a couple of bottles of this and heating it up with a couple of sticks of melted butter and shaking one's wings or dousing one's wings with this stuff and having some good homemade blue cheese on hand. No, that's a... Yeah, I'm thinking that's a this weekend kind of thing. Maybe not Saturday, because Saturday is Pride over in Beckley. But Sunday? Sunday, maybe? Ooh, possibly. So if you run across it in your grocery store, I found it at Foodlion. Maybe give it a try and tell me what you think. I can see where it will also be very good, along with some organic Worcestershire sauce, you know, and some lemon juice in a big, tall glass of ice-cold tomato juice. Red Gold, by the way. Another unpaid product placement. Because Red Gold is not from concentrate tomato juice, and it makes all the difference in the world. Just things that I think that we'll enjoy somewhere along the way. In regard to Senator Byrd's towering intellect, Flavio says they really don't make people like him anymore. The guy would quote classic literature from the Greeks, the Romans, Shakespeare, et al. From memory. I listened to his speeches in opposition to the Iraq War in the well of the Senate, and many times alone in awe. He was truly great and a truly towering intellect. You know, at one point in time, he was offered a seat on the Supreme Court, and he turned it down because that's how much he loved the Senate. He felt at home there. And, of course, every time his name gets mentioned somewhere, it's kind of like that little thing that happens in It's a Wonderful Life. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Well, every time Senator Byrd's name gets mentioned, some idiot Republican somewhere has to holler, he was in the Klan! Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And you know what? He got out of the Klan. And he denounced the Klan. And the Klan hated him for that. But he still hung on to some of his old racist ways. And he did do what he tried to filibuster the Civil Rights Act, and as previously mentioned, he regretted it for the rest of his days. Not because it made him look bad, but because he was able to grow as a human being and recognize how profoundly wrong he had been. Maybe somebody needs to say that to Joe Manchin. If you want to be regarded like Senator Byrd, be a human being who grows and changes through life like Senator Byrd was. At the very end of Senator Byrd's life, he even put out a statement saying that the sun had set on the coal industry that he had so strongly supported and in large part protected over the entire course of his career. He did it largely in terms of trying to protect the people who worked for the coal industry. But long before I got into the movement, or some of my colleagues, people were going to Senator Byrd and saying, please, please listen. This is bad. So he was there after the Monongah disaster that Joe Manchin likes to talk about. Yeah, Monongah. Well, there was one in 1907 and there was one in 1967. And the one in 1967 finally moved Congress to try to do something about keeping miners from dying in holes that the company didn't give a good goddamn if they blew up or not. And that's how you get the Mine Safety and Health Administration. And a great man named Ken Heckler, you can look him up sometime, I knew him, was a member of Congress. He was also a confidant of Harry Truman. He wrote The Bridge at Remagen about his experiences in the Second World War. He played tennis into his 90s. There's your tennis reference, Darlene. And he was relentless in his desire to protect people who worked in that hellacious industry. Well, the Senator Byrd moment is upon Joe Manchin. And we will have to wait and see if Joe Manchin has the same kind of starch that Senator Byrd had. I was once part of an organization who, as their central one of their central tenets, said that we sought to avoid remorse for past actions and regret for lost opportunities. And goodness gracious, if that isn't the truth. A very seasoned lawyer once told me when I was young, enjoy the time with your family. Because when you come to the end of your working life, you're not going to say, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. You're going to say, I wonder what I missed with my family. And I don't even know if the old guy's still around. I doubt it. But he was right. Oddly enough, he was a Republican. But he was one of those old school kinds of Republicans. One of the kind, you know, one of the ones you could actually have a conversation with. So the question becomes, at the end of his roads and days, will people still be standing around patting Joe Manchin on the back and telling him how wonderful he was? At the end of his roads and days, will Chuck Koch No, he'll probably already be gone to his long home. Will somebody from Americans for Prosperity be standing there patting Joe on the back saying, hey, thanks so much for fucking all those people. Thanks, Joe, for fucking hundreds of millions of people in America. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for fucking your own state time after time after time and doing it for nothing more than the money we spent. And by the way, Joe, we never counted the cost because you never cost us very much. It was like you did it for free. Yeah. Do you really think, asks Ron and Raleigh, Rand Paul, while being a truly despicable, hateful sumbitch, I still think Ted Fat Wolverine Cruz is more hated. How about a straw poll to see where the Horn family stands? P.S. Ranked choice hating. All right. Who's worse? Rand Paul or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America? The lines are open, as are the emails and the messages. Let's get a little straw poll going, just like Ron said. Let's figure this one out so we'll at least know who Joe Manchin will go up against in the loser's bracket. Because loser. By the way, meanwhile, says Jeremy in Vermont, in Vermont, my decent Republican governor just yesterday signed new law to make the vote easier and more accessible for all in my state. Yeah, new, with the exception of Paul LePage, I guess some New England Republicans still participate a little bit in that idea of there being Republicans that you could work with. Gosh, I'm so old, I remember when Bishop Willard Romney was one of those. And yeah, that is a sip of the Old Bay hot sauce. I just do that sometimes. Yummy. Well, Ralph's has gotten her vote in. Rand Paul by far. Oh, I think this could be a debate. You know, we may have to carry this over to Friday on the front porch and make a full debate of it. Nattering nabob of negativity. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm really having a tough time hanging on to hope that the Dems can get their shit together and move something forward. I hear people talking about the next election being a pivot point, that the Republicans need to lose a few elections in a row in order to change their ways and find a conscience. Sorry for freaking out, but no one has ever made any money betting that a Republican would find a moral center and do the right thing. Who the hell has time to sit back and hope they lose again? Especially when they're passing laws to legalize stealing the next election. Which, of course, brings me to the cul-de-sac that is Joe Manchin. Joe Cul-de-sac Manchin. God, Matt, you've been on fire lately. Where all decent legislation goes to die. First it was McConnell, now it's Manchin. How much longer are we going to allow nothing to get done because it upsets the white man racist pieces of shit in the Senate? Well, I got my blood boiled up to a point where I can go to work it off at the gym. I guess I'm on the Joe Manchin workout plan. Oh, I don't know do you dare continue to stream the program through your earbuds while you're working out, or do you just give yourself a little time away? Thanks for that, Matt. Joe Cul-de-sac Manchin. No way out. Crap just piles up down there in the little circle. But Matt's right. We do talk about the next election. Because we always talk about the next election. Because there's always more to hope for, more to dream about, more to work for. And in the case of Republicans, there's always more to fuck. Because if they can't steal it, they'll fuck it. If they can't fuck it, they'll steal it. That's just the Republican. Why waste all those pages, 800 pages, on a party platform when that's all it is? Ranked choice hating? Fuck, I was trying to take a nap, says Megan. Number one, fled Cruz. Number two, dumbass Dr. Rand Paul. Okay, so we're tied. Billable Rick says most hated senators, Cruz, Paul, Hawley, Mike Lee, Manchin. So Cruz is at 2-1. Somebody's going to have to work out this ranked choice thing because it always evades me. I don't think we're going to lack a majority here. So the ranked choice hating may not actually come into play, Ron. Dave number 11 says Cruz is a multifaceted shit weasel. Raphael can be hated from any position, past the old bay, damn straight. So Raphaelito's opening a bit of a lead. And he's expanding it because Christopher says ranked choice evil bastards. One, Wolverine Ted. Two, Ayn Rand lawn mowing man Paul. Three, Joe save the filibuster, flush the country mansion. Looks like Joe needs to fuck us a little harder if he wants to climb up that list, doesn't it? Little correction here, Ron and Raleigh pointing out, nattering nabobs, it's not negativity, it was nattering nabobs of negativism. Spiro had a way with words and other people's money. Oh, God. Huh. All we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. That's another line from Mate One that keeps coming in handy. Lee in New York wants to know, is voting for Rand Paul also a vote for that thing on his head, or is that a different vote? No, they're a package deal. So, I'm taking that. That's a vote for Rand Paul. Well, Raphaelito is still in the lead. Going back to the whole E. Jean Carroll DOJ thing. Kyle in Kentucky stands says, so now that we know that this administration will do nothing to hold anyone accountable, where do we go from here? Sorry to be so blunt and so down, but what other conclusion can we draw from Merrick Garland's decisions? Well, I think I covered that. We can talk about, or we can look at it from the point of view that he was doing what our attorney generals do, and he was trying to protect, he was moving to protect the presidency. And just by way of a thought experiment, since we're agonizing over 2022, let's say for a minute that the DOJ doesn't substitute for E. Jean Carroll. What does that mean for the Jim Shorts Jordans? Or any other mouth-walking knuckle-breather who wants to sue President Biden if the Republicans get hold of the House of Representatives. Because, well, the video came out yesterday proving that Mo Brooks, Les Brames, is, again, a liar. No, his wife was not accosted. She may have been irritated, but she was not accosted. And no, the process server did not trespass. But Eric Swalwell is suing Donald Trump civilly. And we talked a little bit about the finesse to this issue yesterday. He's suing Donald Trump and Mo Brooks, Les Brames, Trader Tot, Rudy Giuliani. But the suit against Nitwit Nero is relative to actions he took while he was president of the United States. What's your bet on where the DOJ comes down on that, or whether the DOJ will intervene and demand the right to be substituted for Donald Trump in that action. That gave me the fantods just thinking about it. And I'm in a mood today, Megan says. You're making the oh-so-great assumption that these Republican senators know how to read. After all, their last great Republican president, a.k.a. COVID Caligula, got to be president without knowing much about the English language at all, and neither did Dim Leader. Why should they? True. Cruz and Paul, Matt says, anyone who can fly to Cabo as his constituents freeze to death has to have a leg up on the Rand Paul and that thing on his head contingent. You make a strong case, Matt. Rank choice hating. Jeremy says, one, Joe saved the Republic mansion. Two, I wish Ted and Rand would have a death match with only one winner. I just can't decide. Well, maybe it could be like the end of Hamlet. Where everybody is done for at the end of the play until young Prince Fortinbras, King Fortinbras of Norway steps in to fill the power vacuum. Horrible senators, ranked choice. Stephen New York says James Inhofe, Ron Johnson, Ted Cruz, John Kennedy, Marsha Blackburn. Getting a little eclectic there, aren't you, Steve? James Snowball Inhofe. Ron, dumbest man in the Senate, Johnson. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, aforementioned. John Kennedy, Louisiana. Senator Jubilation T. Cornpone. And Marsha Blackburn, stupidest woman in the Senate. Balmer Bob, on the other hand, says, sure, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are both horrible human beings. But who's worse? Ted Cruz wins handily. Does Cancun ring a bell? January 6th, at least Rand put his horribleness to good use by voting down a Republican attempt to repeal Obamacare. Did he? That was back in September 2017. Bless his heart, he voted against the proposed replacement because it wasn't cruel enough. It was his finest hour. Oh, my God. Yeah. Forgot about that. Again, strong case made for Cruz. Swalwell suing Trump. Lee in New York says, I thought you never sue a person who has no money. Well, that you know of. Hungry lawyers can find money in some of the damnedest places. You know, like Mar-a-Lardass or Bedminster. Yeah. No, that's the wrong Shakespeare play, Lee. You can say Hamlet. It's the Scottish play you can't mention. By the way, Dave, number 11, if you can find this Old Bay hot sauce, you're going to love it. Oh, my God. Yummy, yummy. So we are nearing the halfway point of the program, and it being a Tuesday, we have the Green News Report on hand. Let's see what merriment Brad and Desi are up to, and then, maybe your calls if you. Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute, says Megan, who's in a mood. When did John Cornholio of Texas slide by everybody's hate list? Yeah, I know. Cornholio. Good point. You can put him on your rank choice hating, Megan. It's free country. Thunderdome, says Ron and Raleigh. Two men enter, one man leaves. I wonder if one of them's a great hulking... I mean, you remember the movie. Some great hulking moron with a little piss ant sitting on its shoulder. Wait, is that Mike Lee and Josh Hawley? Anyway, Green News Report. If you got something you want to get off your chest, if you want to add to the conversation, you did. I remember. Dave number 11 says, "Jesus, I sent you the picture of the Old Bay hot sauce." I remember that. Maybe that's why I went. Oh. Thanks for tweaking my memory. Because I had never, ever, ever seen it in a store around here. Thanks for the reminder, Dave. I get a lot of emails, Dave. Got to remember. Ranking. Suman says, Jackass Cruise for ranks 1 through 100. The other four reptilian Republican asswipes from 100 to 104 and Manchin at 105. Suman's kind of a numbers guy. Randy Radar pointing out, you don't really have a democracy unless you have instant runoff voting. So far, I don't think we're going to have a runoff. Because Raffaelito's running away. But still, ranked choice hating. By God, that's got potential. Green News, on the way.
It's Tuesday, June 8, 2021.
From Maine to New Mexico, the U.S. is seeing historic high temperatures, sweltering in dangerous hot air that's arrived earlier than usual, catching many off guard. Tonight, major cities from Boston to Washington, D.C. are declaring weather emergencies.
Extreme heat hits the U.S., breaks all-time high records in the Middle East. Atmospheric CO2 levels now highest in more than 4 million years. Plus,
the way we humans live on Earth is sending it into a decline.
Sir David Attenborough is done being nice about climate change.
Yeah, me too. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
In neighboring Utah, the dry conditions prompted the governor to call for a weekend of prayer.
We need more rain, and we need it now. We need some divine intervention.
Aha! Republicans in Utah finally admit climate change is man-made because man isn't praying enough. That'll fix it. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it looks like you've got nothing but bad news today.
Yes, sadly.
As usual.
Yep. Concentrations of CO2 in the atmosphere have reached a new record high, 419 parts per million, as measured at the Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii. That's 50% higher than pre-industrial levels, the highest in 4 million years. The last time CO2 was this high, global sea levels were nearly 80 feet higher than today, and average temperatures were 7 degrees Fahrenheit hotter. Even though last year's emissions did drop by 7% due to pandemic-related economic shutdowns, it barely registered as a blip. Axios meteorologist Andrew Friedman explains that, quote, CO2 levels directly correspond to climate impact. As long as we're emitting CO2, concentrations will keep building up. It took more than a century to reach 400 parts per million, but it's taken humanity only 8 years to reach 419.
We're good at this.
Global warming, of course, is already impacting us now. The Russian Arctic hit 89 degrees Fahrenheit last week, and this week a blistering extreme heat wave is breaking records across the Middle East, with temperatures running around 15 degrees above normal, driving temperatures to historic levels for this time of year. It's only early June, but several Mideast countries over the weekend tied all-time high national temperature records, some soaring above 125 degrees Fahrenheit, a full month before high temperatures reach their annual average peak.
Of course they did. This is hitting us hard, and it's hitting us bad.
Here in the U.S., much of the country is sweltering through an historic early season heat wave. More than 24 million people are under extreme heat advisories, from the Northern Plains to New England, from Texas all the way up into Canada. At least six states set new record highs on Monday, with several cities in the East Coast declaring heat emergencies. The heat is intensifying storms in the south and severe drought conditions across the west, including fueling wildfires.
See what I said about this is getting bad?
In India, where the annual monsoon season begins this month, a new study concludes that man-made global warming will likely make India's increasingly erratic monsoon seasons even more intense and severe. Researchers studying a million years' worth of ice core data found that higher CO2 levels and associated global warming were major factors in past monsoon intensity. They confirm monsoons are already intensifying now and warn, quote, the risk of catastrophically strong monsoon seasons is very likely to get worse because of man-made climate change.
Just more warnings that we can ignore. Don't be silly.
A different study projects that the price of tea could soar due to man-made climate change because a quarter of the world's tea is produced in India, where heavier rains have washed away crops and eroded soil. Finally, venerable 95-year-old British naturalist and filmmaker Sir David Attenborough calls his latest film, A Life on Our Planet, a first-hand witness account of what he has seen happen to the planet, and he gave an uncharacteristically stark assessment in an interview with 60 Minutes on Sunday.
You call the film a witness statement. A witness statement is given when a crime has been committed.
Yeah, well, a crime has been committed. And it so happens that I'm of such an age that I was able to see it beginning.
But he also sounds a note of cautious optimism if humanity can ramp up clean, renewable energy.
If we can solve the problems of storage and transmission, the world is ours. We have all the power we need. Why should we go on poisoning life?
Because poison pays, Sir David, and it pays well. And this is a guy who's been watching this stuff for a very long time. Yeah, he's kind of old.
Yeah.
No more Mr. Nice Guy there. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, or Apple Podcasts. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
All right, we're going to move on from the perfidy of Joe Manchin in fairly short order. But just one last little factoid before we do. And that's this. In the previous Congress, in 2019, as a matter of fact, Joe Manchin signed on as a co-sponsor of the For the People Act. Because this isn't its first rodeo. Mm-mm. So the hypocrisy just becomes, as does the plot, thicker. Yeah. And here at the halfway point of the program, we still have $65 in challenges on the table thus far unmet. Hopefully it will not stay that way. But since it is Titanic Tuesday, and since we do celebrate manifestations of titanic intellect on the part of the maggots and the white wing, you know, Republicans, and since her name has already been mentioned, well, it's time to take a quick listen to, and, you know, check in with Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. Ooh, Frank's extra hot and Frank's honey and garlic extra hot. Thanks, Ron. Those sound good. I have never seen those. And, you know, I was actually looking at the bottle of the Old Bay stuff while I was listening to the 3 News Report. Best by June 11th, 21. Is it me or is that 3 days from now? Who's handling the distribution at Food Lion? Makes me wonder. Sure does. Maybe that explains it. Dave number 11. Balmer Bob from Politico. This article should seal the case for Ted Cruz being worse than Rand Paul. It is a Politico article, as noted, from 2017. Republicans rip Rand for rejecting Obamacare repeal. Yeah, going back to him saying it wasn't cruel enough. Of course, remember, it was his daddy who back in, was it 2012 at some Republican debates when he was Pappy Paul was running, asked a crowd at some Republican candidate pageant in a discussion, in a debate about health care. Some of these things just stick with me. Well, what do you want to do? Just let them die in the halls? And do you remember, because, you know, that was a long time ago now, 9 years ago, the assembled The assembled faithful, the assembled Republican faithful, cheered at the idea of leaving their fellow Americans to die in the hallways of hospitals. That was a moment. I remember way back then, Brother Deacon Asa could probably tell us exactly what program it was, remarking on the fact that that was the Republican Party. That's the modern Republican Party. Right there. And it hasn't changed. But at least Marsha Gedneth Blackburn is getting honorable mention in our little straw poll. And you know what? Marsha is getting her talking points. Well, I don't know. Maybe Q is sending them to her through the fillings in her teeth. But she made a video that she put up on Twitter. Here are the facts on Fauci that big tech doesn't want you to know. We're already struggling to get people vaccinated in this country, and she's working to make sure more people die. Bioterrorist. Bioterrorist. Five syllables. Bioterrorist. Bioterrorist. Ding. Tell us about it, Marsha. Do, let's. Ooh, love your jacket. But it's a suit.
Okay.
Okay.
A lot of information going on, stirring around the Wuhan lab and COVID-19. Here are some facts that I want you to know. First of all...
Hold on. She says that they're facts. What does that mean? That means she's about to tell a shit ton of lies. Because she's a Republican, okay?
Yes, Dr. Fauci was emailing with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, trying to create that narrative, cherry-picking information so that you would...
Curiously, she's... I don't know why she'd use the term cherry-picking, except for the fact that in this video, she's actually standing in front of a print of the Washington Monument in spring when the cherry trees are blooming. The goddess of irony, and her jacket almost matches the cherry blossoms, but it's more of a peach as opposed to a pink.
Would only know what they wanted to know, you to know, and there would be a narrative that would fit with this cherry-picked information. The second thing, be aware of, it was Dr. Fauci. And his agency.
In the billiard room with the vial of viruses. Do I win Clue?
That wrote that check, sent that money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do this coronavirus research.
Not a goddamn word of which is even remotely true. Yeah. He was emailing with Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she just takes it as a given that China made it. And Steve in New York, before you send me the email saying you don't understand why it matters, whether it matters doesn't matter. Not being mean. But this is their bloody narrative. This is their way of trying to get us to forget that nearly 600,000 deaths can be laid right at the doorstep of her God Emperor. And her caucus. Every Republican in the Senate, every Republican in the House, every godforsaken maggot in the Trump maladministration, they own those deaths. And this is all because of the released Fauci emails, which don't say what she said it says it says. Did Dr. Fauci have conversations with Facebook? Probably. About trying to put out videos that would inform people on how to stay safe and, you know, not fucking die. I mean, this is not the Mark Zucker dweeb appreciation network. But that's what the conversations were about. The stupid. It burns. Oh, Jeremy jumped back in. We're only $5 away from finishing Tracy's challenge. Thank you, Jeremy. But yes, ciphering. Yes, June 11th, 2021 is 3 days from today. Good to know. I kind of went, what? When I saw that. I remember, says Matt in San Francisco. I remember that back then. They've always been ghouls. It just takes people a while to find the truth. Yeah, let them die in the hallways. I think old Pappy Paul was even a little shocked at that. But by God, he's trained his little libertarian minions well, hasn't he? Ah. Lee in New York says, you do not win Clue, Robin. But Marcia, goodness, Blackburn wins Clueless. Well played. Absolutely. But it only gets better, this being Titanic Tuesday. Because we've got, well, we've kind of got the home game version of Marcia. Goodness, Blackburn. They had a hearing in Ohio where the Republican legislature there is hustling some piece of legislative snake oil that they call HB 248, the Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act, that will protect anti-vaxxer Ohioans from being prevented from spreading their disease wherever they so choose. And I guess they had a listening session, the legislature did. And there was so-called debate on the bill today. The upshot of the Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act is that anyone can deny under color with the assistance of the law, anybody can refuse the vaccine for any reason, and it would forbid anyone from asking them about their vaccine status. Enter one Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Or Dr. Sherry Penny Annie. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny Nail in the Brain. I don't know. But some maggot invited her to speak because she's one of the leading anti-vaxxers in Merca, or maybe even the world. And she sure had some new information to share with the folks there in Ohio. Oh, yeah. Get the hockey puck. Get lots of duct tape. Because you're going to be, and the neighbor, and otherwise, if you don't, the neighbors will hear the screaming. Oh, she testified and testified and testified. And it's almost like, with the background there, it looks like there's a live studio audience for Jerry Springer behind her. Hold on tight. Here we go.
Thinking, if you can think of any other product in any other industry that has killed more than 5,000 people stated in the VAERS database, and even if only half of those are true, 2,500 deaths in 6 months of use, and it's still full court press, full steam ahead. So it makes one have to wonder why. Why are we still doing this? Why are we putting people into nursing homes like that happened in New York and put people with known COVID into place?
I'm not quite sure what the nursing homes have to do with the vaccine, because that was before the vaccine was out. But, you know, this is just Dr. Tenpennies. Thought processes, if we can dare call them thoughts. Over at the Ohio Capital Journal, a guy named Tyler Buchanan, who he posted what you just heard, and Jake Zuckerman, who also works with him there, says he's followed the anti-vax movement in Ohio closer than anyone over the past year. And even they were stunned. Because, among other things, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, we have no idea what her doctor degree is. Well, for $595, you too can sign up for an 8-week course in anti-vaxxing. And she'll teach you all of her most famous talking points. One judge forbade her from testifying as an expert, writing, "Television interviews do not an expert make." Well, but apparently they do make an expert in the Ohio House of Representatives. Because what you just heard wasn't all. Okay, since we were doing a straw poll earlier, here's another little fun community participation game we can engage in. Everybody get out a car key, preferably made of steel, or a house key. Or a padlock key, as long as it's made of something that responds to magnetism, because that's going to be a central part of this. Stand by. Just have your key at the ready, okay?
And some of the information that I think had been discussed on your podcast related to EMF frequencies.
That was a thought.
And it was because now, because right now we're,
because that's a member of the Ohio legislature, who is asking Dr. Tinpot about something she had said earlier about electromagnetic field frequencies, and maybe that's how she's communicating. Again, the filling's in your teeth. Five G cell phone networks made it into the conversation. Have you got your key? Good. This only works if you've had the vaccine, mind you.
all kind of hypothesizing. I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet.
No, I don't go to the places that have the pictures all over the internet. Pictures of what, Dr. Tinpot?
Of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized.
Magnetized? Oh my Jesus, no! At which point she puts her hand on her little forehead, careful not to hit it too hard lest there be a hollow thumping sound.
Put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface.
Yeah, suspected interface, yet to be defined, otherwise known as something we came up with one night when everybody was like really stoned, dude, and probably like loaded. Or maybe on acid. Ah, okay. Dr. Sherry, Ron in Raleigh tells me, is an osteopathic physician, as Steve in New York pointed out. Nothing wrong with osteopaths. Fantastic general purpose surgeon over in Somersville. Graduated from the West Virginia School of Osteopathy, and he does a very good job. Meanwhile, Jeremy in Vermont, what, Edith, huh? They gave us a shot that's killed 2,500 people, but Fox News hasn't told us that, or the fill-in putts for Rush on his temporary leave of absence. I know the liberals claim he's dead, but Q says he'll be back in August to praise the return of Jesus' fatter, much dumber, evil white brother, and my president, Donald Trump. Yes, 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 of course. Fuck. No, Dave. No, Dave, number 11. No. All I had was a razor blade. Call 911. Who? Yeah. Let's go back to the hand on the forehead part. There it is.
They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected...
Metal piece to what? Sometimes Titanic Tuesday, it goes past funny, runs on past lunacy, and just gets into the infuriating.
That there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet, but we're trying to figure out what is it that's being...
No, it's not proven yet. It's not even hypothesized yet. It's fantasized, Dr. Sherry. Billable Rick. Human magnet, a new superhero. Damn, Robin. This stuff really works. My office key is firmly attached to my forehead, and the magnetism is preventing me from removing it. How am I ever going to lock the office when I leave tonight? Oh, you used the wrong key, Rick. You got to think about these things. You want to see if you can borrow a razor blade from Dave? Lee in New York, magnetism. My keys do not stick. Must have gotten the placebo shots. By the way... want an example of electromagnetic spectrum? Visible light. No, not light. God, they're everywhere. They're insidious. I'm sorry, I just want to hear it again.
And all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet, but we're trying to figure out what is it that's being transmitted to these unvaccinated people. And... some of the information that I think
the people in the Jerry Springer audience behind her just sitting there with these downturned mouth faces is what huh? What? Because this being a Republican majority committee, it's not like they were going to have any sane people on. Oh, Oh, my aching back. Why, asks Nat, why? Why are people putting spoons on their heads? Does it help with internet connectivity? It's the 5G, Matt. Don't you understand? It's the 5G and the little metal pieces. The little metal pieces that are attached to the spike proteins, that, well, those are, they communicate with the 5G, and that's Bill Gates's liquid metal barcode. Wake up, sheeple! Oh, my God. My God. I mean, you do really kind of look up once in a while, and you say to yourself, we're fucked. Badly. Badly. No, Arnold, no, the fork isn't supposed to stick in your head, it's supposed to stick on your head, you know, like with a mat, because you're magnetic now. Wait a minute, could there be a theme song for this? Oops. Possibly. Do you know what I'm thinking about? Do you know where I'm going with this? I may not get there. There we go. There it is. It could be. Magneto and Titanium Man. Wait, will titanium stick to a magnet? It's been too long. I don't remember. So catchy and so upbeat. You know, that's what made Paul McCartney and Wings so wonderful. Oh, God. No, really, Arnold. Just set the fork against your forehead, buddy. Oh, and there's another reference. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Steve Martin with the eye patch on. With the potato stuck to his fork, which he immediately jams into his eye patch. God almighty. I know. I know, Megan. It hurts, doesn't it? What in the goddamn fuck, says Mar Megan. I went through a metal detector right before Memorial Day weekend, 2 weeks after my shot. Nothing, nada, zip, zilch. This ain't the X-Men, lady, and we aren't named Magneto. Ah! No, you got, it's, see, you and Lee in New York, y'all got the placebo. Mm-hmm. Because you remember my little reindeer antlers from back around Christmas or a little after, when Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice was blathering on about how, now in no way, shape, form, or fashion will getting this vaccine cause you to grow antlers. And I was just kidding around. Well, I tried it with my antlers because they're metal, and they're stuck to my head now. Damn it. I know, Ralphs. What the fuck? Yeah, I know. It burns us. Stupid, it burns us. But the worst part of this whole thing is, this isn't some blithering idiot talking on standing on a Tupperware Rubbermaid crate on a street corner, barking at the passersby. This is an official gathering of a committee of the House of Representatives of the state of Ohio. This is governance, or what passes for it. Brothers and sisters, fear for your republic. This is the state that no Republican can lose and still gain the presidency. This is the beating heart of Republicanism. You know, not Talabama, not Texas Stan. Ohio. Hard-working, salt-of-the-earth, the middle class, you know, farmers tilling the earth and watching the tiny green sprouts emerge through the ground. And where's that fife and drum corps when I need it? This is the rock-solid heart of conservative, Midwestern, God-fearing, white, upstanding values. And somewhere, native Ohioan Steve in New York weeps, perhaps shrieks, maybe groans. But he knows. And I'll bet you Giraffe just turned a 32-ounce Long Island iced tea upright. Lord Jesus, it's too much. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the photos all over the internet. Is anybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation Ad Hoc Research Department searching forks stick to heads because of vaccine? Are you in the little least bit curious about this? Because see, I remember when Uri Geller, he had a hustle where he would bend spoons and forks with his mind. And there was this great moment on The Tonight Show when Johnny Carson had had him on, but Johnny had been given the heads up in advance and was told, don't let him touch any, don't let him leave him up, don't. And so when he showed up on The Tonight Show, Carson, who had been a magician as a kid in his own right, queried him on it, and then Uri Geller couldn't bend the spoon with his mind, and he said, well, you know, the vibrations just aren't right here on the... No. I understand the plan now, Lee in New York says. You get the vaccine. The magnetism affects the metal in your body. Where do you have metal? Iron in your blood. The vaccine drains the blood from your body. Just like that Star Trek episode Obsession with the vampire cloud. Oh, no, not the vampire cloud. Look, Lee, don't wear a red shirt for a while. You should be okay. Jeremy in Vermont, Harry Chapin. Didn't Harry Chapin warn us about this problem with the silverware in his way before its time? Cats in the Cradle. Don't forget the magnetic silver spoon! I grieve for our country. At the same time that I confess, I giggle a little bit. As I was preparing for the program, I hollered through the Horn studio wall to Agnes. I said, hey, honey, you gotta hear this. And cranked up the audio that you just heard. And the next thing I hear is, what? And, you know, at this point in time, she's probably great friends with Robert Kennedy Jr. How freaking sad. Remember when Stephen New York asks, we laughed at people whose evidence for anything was, it's all over the internet, and we all collectively responded, yeah, because everything on the internet is true. But how far different is Dr. Tinpot from, say, Marsha Gedness Blackburn? You want to bet? I mean, you know how the talking points run in Republican world. You want to bet maybe Marsha Gedness Blackburn is going to video herself making a fork stick to her head? No, she hasn't had it. See, I haven't had it. That's why this fork won't stick to my head. No, honey. That's not why the fork won't stick to your head. The fork won't magnetically attach to your head because your head's wood. Robert in Australia says, I had gold injections. In the early days of my arthritis treatments, it was largely hit and miss. Different people respond differently to different drugs. I was on a course of gold injections for 6 months, gold being a metal. 6 months of being injected with a metal, and nothing weird ever happened. No sparks, no radio coming from my teeth, nothing metal ever stuck to me. I didn't end up looking like C-3PO. I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, Robert. It also didn't help my arthritis, so I was moved on to another drug. 7 drugs later, we hit on one that worked for me. Gold injections, Robert informs us, are made from a compound called sodium orothiamolate, which contains gold. Sodium orothiamolate belongs to a class of drugs called disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, or DMARDs. DMARDs are known for their inflammation-blocking qualities. Okay, that's a cowbell, Gwen. Warning, Glenn in San Diego says, once you've been vaccinated, please avoid refrigerate. Honey, I'm stuck to the fridge again. Wait a minute. I got a nice piece of metal here. Nah, well, it's probably not steel. Let's see if the significantly large woman tagged it. Julian Giraffe. Nope. Damn it. Falls right. Well, let me see if I can get it. Because it's... No. Maybe it's aluminum. By the way, don't get... If you've had the vaccine, don't get near your hard drive. I bet they have a hard time getting into hotel rooms. They demagnetized their key cards. Oh, dear God, please, let's move on. Right, Mighty Mouse says, and Yuri Geller can actually bend spoons with his mind. Sure! Titanium, by the way, Magneto and Titanium Man. Billable Rick says, titanium is only weakly magnetic. Thus, if you got the J&J shot, which contains some liquid titanium, the key won't stick to your forehead. It's even worse if you got the AstraZeneca vaccine, since that has aluminum in it, which is not magnetic at all, as we just found out with the suspiciously large woman tag. Is this it? Hold on. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel. And he seems to be having fun with it.
Apparently it continued to do so for at least another month. The state of California said they are not lifting the mask mandate in stores and public places until June
5th. Oh, no, that goes on for 15 minutes. That's okay. I'll have to check that out after the program. Oh, shit, Steve says. Whatever will I do when walking through the metal detector to the airport? Well, You're going to wind up, all the vaccinated people are going to wind up in Guantanamo Bay because that's what Q says. Shit, don't say that. You know, we say this goofy shit here out here, and then the next thing you know, it's a new communication from Q. On the other hand, I can tell you where I'm not going to be anytime soon, like ever. On a cruise ship. Royal Caribbean International has declared that it will no longer require anybody cruising on their ships to be vaccinated for COVID-19. Now, earlier they'd said everybody's going to have a vaccine before you can get on the boat. No, now Royal Caribbean is going to say, you know, we recommend the vaccine, but when you think about the other diseases that are on cruise ships, they might well do well to recommend that you board the ship in a full body condom. Well, somebody tell Dr. Tinpot. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to cruise on a Royal Caribbean vessel. Wait, Jeremy says, Robert, in Australia, you've just declared you have precious metals injected into you. Beware, some merkin capitalist may come and try to open a mine on your ass. See what I've done here? Well, I mean, Robert doesn't even have to worry about an American capitalist. There's loopy ass mining billionaires in Australia that can do it at home. Yeah. Well, I know SSDs aren't affected by magnetism, but only the old hard drives. But there's plenty of those still around. You could wipe them. So that was a hire. And then there's, of course, Florida. And by the way, if you want to talk about this insanity, feel free. The stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, or 304-574-8178. They're all easy. 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. And I don't know why that area code number was in your... must be one of the old numbers here. Somebody's getting a good laugh of it. No, down to Florida. Collier County, Florida. Where the school board meeting, and we had another one of these stories just the other day. Was it last night? The cranks showed up at the Collier County School Board to decry the teaching of everybody, 1, 2, 3, critical race theory. And the person leading the charge was the goober who runs seed-to-table grocery stores. You may recall that he has sued and had his ass handed to him over mask mandates and the like. And he stood up and did some world-class barking and hooting. Let's check out the reportage from Wink TV, WINK. I think that's somewhere down around Sanibel Island. Trying to remember the bigger city there. I recognize the call letters because the great Guy James once broadcast on Wink Radio, which curiously is not named for Wink Martindale. So this is their little package. After Dr. Tinpot, I hope you didn't put the hockey puck away. Because the barking and the hooting and the screaming Well,
Southwest Florida is a weather paradise.
Oh, there's the ad, so let's wait on that. I hate that. Forgot about the ad when I watched it before. Okay.
I know most of you up there are business people, and most of you couldn't run a hot dog stand, but you're getting ready to spend $6 million. How many of you wrote a check of your own for $6
million? So that's the guy who runs Seed to Table. And you're going to spend $6 million teaching our children to be Marxists? For trying, but they're not. Let's go to the team, the Action News team coverage.
Also breaking at four, parents and taxpayers fired up. In fact, Alfie Oaks, the owner of Seed to Table Supermarket, was escorted out of this meeting. They say the school board is pushing a liberal agenda onto students.
Yeah, the heated meeting taking place in Collier County. Now, they claim that the district is spending millions of dollars on books focusing on critical race theory. Wink News reporter Rachel Cox Rosen is live in Collier County. And
see, that's I'm doing the whole package here for a reason. They claim that critical race theory, blah, 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 blah. And the newsreader, as they're called over in the UK and elsewhere, the talking head, no one bothered to script in there. They claim they're teaching critical race theory. That is factually untrue. That is not true. That is a lie. Dumb question, says Steve in New York. What exactly is critical race theory? I have a feeling it was called history or just education when I was growing up. Not really. It is an attempt to teach the whole history of the United States. Even the part that makes dainty, delicate, snowflakey white people uncomfortable. Does that help?
Rachel, the school district denies this.
Russ, this discussion came about after three people filed official objections to the textbooks. But the school district says these books have nothing to do with critical race theory. But that didn't convince many of the people who came out here today. They want the school board to take a stand.
Because it's Florida and facts don't matter to a lot of people in Southwest Florida. Dear God. A Marxist, Steve says, listen, asshole, the correct term is Grouchoist. Okay, oh, yeah, you worked for that one. I mean, that could be a Harpoist or a Chicoist or a Grouchoist or a Zeppoist.
And
no, I'm not going to sit there. You know that these materials are
passion and anger at today's Collier County School Board meeting.
You know, she left out stupidity, passion and anger, and stupidity, mostly stupidity, at the Collier County School Board meeting.
Dozens turned out to oppose some of the instructional reading material approved by the school board in April, saying it teaches tenets of critical race theory and indoctrinates students with leftist ideology.
You know the funny part? They'd actually have to read the damn things, the books, the damn things, to find that out. And I'll give you at least 10 to 1 odds, maybe 99 to 1, maybe 1,000 to 1. We're working in pennies. But nobody's read it. They've just heard Tucker Carlson grunting and barking and moaning about it and shrieking and howling and, well, we better go and make sure they ain't teaching that to our precious cherubs down here in sunny Southwest Florida. God.
I'll be damned if I will allow a Marxist revolution to take place in this country.
Okay, you know, I don't know where you're from, but I don't think it's Florida.
We need to reject our children even being taught it.
Politics cannot be in these schools unless it's a political class.
CRT focuses on mainly on teaching cultural differences instead of commonalities.
You know, cultural differences like the people who got lynched versus the people who didn't get lynched, or the people who were beaten for trying to vote versus the people who were beating people for trying to vote. You know, cultural differences.
But one school district official pushed back.
I love the Latin. God. Pushed back. One school official said, this is all bilious hogwash.
There's no evidence of critical race theory in this resource or any of the HMH Florida Interreading student materials, teacher materials, or any ancillary materials.
Board members agreed.
After going through all of these texts and having four kids in our schools as well, anything in these texts was not, a problem for me.
Y'all couldn't run a hot dog stand, says the guy who let COVID-19 run rampant through his grocery stores.
But are still uncomfortable with posts on publisher HMH's website talking about Black Lives Matter and other political issues. Say no matter what, they want to keep politics out of the classroom.
Unless it's their politics. I wonder if anywhere in Collier County some parent has bought a copy of The Midnight Ride of Rush Revere. Remember when that came out a couple of years ago? Yeah, I do.
The board plans to send a letter to HMH Publishing about those posts. They did not vote on the objections to the textbooks today and say they'll make that decision at a future meeting.
Maybe when the barking, grabulating, smolikin maniacs aren't there. Oh, but they're going to keep coming back because we're not going to let you sneak any critical race, Marxist theory, Illuminati, Rosicrucian, mind control into our children's precious noggins. Okay, Steve. Renaming history class. How about learn as much shit as possible, repeat the good, don't repeat the bad? That's way too complicated. That'll never go. That sounds like critical bad theory is what that sounds like. Just another day in Merca. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be Titanic Tuesday without a moment with Marjorie Traitor, gangrene, cue ball. Because she's still mad at the coronavirus. Because it doesn't occur in nature.
Coming out.
There's a lot going to happen there, we know. Okay, I want to pivot.
I think the voice you're hearing might be Steve Bannon, a man who looks like he smells like hot dogs.
But to Tony Fauci, McCarthy's got a tendency to get in front, jump on the bandwagon after it's gone. You do the pick and shovel work. You've put this this bill out about the...
Yeah, she shovels some.
Fauci months ago, I think. We've been on Fauci since January 2020. Very first show we lit this guy up, right? As a total phony. Walk us through the case. Walk us through Marjorie Taylor Greene's case against Tony Fauci.
Well, first I would like to say to all your viewers, you all owe Steve and his team a huge debt of gratitude because they have been telling the truth about Anthony Fauci from day one. So thank you, Steve, for being one of the few that gets...
He's a Rosicrucian, Illuminati, Bilderberger, Rothschild.
The truth out early and right away. And then we also need to thank President Trump. He's been right all along about this virus and about the origin.
Yeah, I'm thanking President Trump. He didn't give me a pardon and shit. And otherwise, I'd be in fucking jail.
Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to get a lawyer because he is liable. I believe he's liable, criminally liable, for what has happened with COVID-19. That's why I wrote the Fauci Act and introduced it back in early April. fired.
Hey, wait. Hold on. I thought she didn't have any power in Congress. Oops, I'm right again. She's a member of Congress. She can introduce any goddamn bill she wants. She might not have any committees, but that doesn't matter. No, hell no. She can file all the lunatic bilge that she wants. And you know what? It gets filed and engrossed in the House of Representatives just like a bill offered by a sane person. How about that?
Mayor Fauci, because
Hang on a second. You're saying fire Fauci is one thing. Back up. What do you mean criminally liable? That's where you're into a whole different.
Yeah, do tell us, Clarice Darrow.
Category. Why do you say that about Dr. Tony Fauci? He's Biden promoted him to chief medical advisor to the president. He's lauded as Saint Tony Fauci on TV every day. Why do you say you're just not for firing him? You're for bringing criminal. You think he ought to face criminal charges?
Well, my Fire Fauci Act asked for a full investigation because we've suspected all along that he is criminally liable. Here's why.
Here's why. It's obvious that he's not really Dr. Tony Fauci. He's a multi-limbed amorphous alien from Norblap 9, and he brought the virus from outer space, and that's why that's why the vaccine makes keys stick to your head. Now, is this just fringe shit? I mean, if this was just fringe shit, it would hardly merit any attention. But there are tens of millions of Americans who hang on every word she says. What did we have a couple of weeks ago? A majority of Americans who are registered as Republicans buy into the core tenets of QAnon, and she is Queen Q. You know, I'm making it really difficult for Megan this evening. She was trying to take a nap and everything. Oh, fuck these idiots, Megan says. Put real U.S. history inside a book cover called History of Middle Earth and just tell them Tolkien was a white wasp and confuse them long enough to get the truth out there. Will that work? Well, they'd have to read it first.
Go back to 2012. You can go back to 2014 where Anthony...
Time travel!
Fauci was using American tax dollars and sending it to the Wuhan lab to fund this research that was creating viruses.
Holy shit. I feel like I've already heard that this evening. Yo, wait, I have. The same bilious hogwash was being promoted by Marsha Gedness Blackburn in a clip maybe an hour ago. You see how they coordinate this shit? That's beyond accident. This is a deliberate attempt to mislead the American people into killing themselves by not getting a vaccine. You know, it was bad. It was bad enough when the Senator Jim Demented, remember he was replaced by Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina, but they declared on the, I think the day after, wasn't it like January 21st, 2009? They had a little coffee klatch in the dark and still of the night and declared their shared purpose, he and several other senators, to make sure that Barack Obama got absolutely nothing passed because he was only 3/5 of a president. Remember that? And that seemed pretty un-American. That seemed pretty disgusting. That's positively timid now. They're not just trying to stop the Biden agenda. They will use people. They will get people to die. In order to advance their psychopathic politics. That's where we are. I mean, we laugh and we carry on and we joke. Because you kind of have to if you don't want to just descend into hopeless weeping for a dying republic. But I mean, she wants criminal charges for Dr. Fauci? What do you say about somebody who is willing to use the very lives of American people to maintain political power and prey on their stupidity? Yeah, I know that sounds like a lot of American right-wing politics over the last, 60 years, but this is somehow different, isn't it?
Why is there any need to create a virus that can spread rapidly through a population, make people sick and kill them? That's a bioweapon. So
if it is, it's a really bad one. So was the dirty white Kansas pig farmer flu of 1919, was that a bioweapon too? I mean, there were chemical weapons being used on the battlefields of World War I. But a coronavirus, which we've known existed for, we've known they exist for quite some time. And this, again, is why respreading this made-in-a-lab thing, which was a notion that was spread by Trump's minions from jump, and which they have never let up on. This is why it matters to talk about it. Because it's getting people killed. Now, that 33-year-old sheriff's deputy in Denver sounded like pretty much a dick. But there's no joy, there's no celebration in his death from his own ignorance. Listen up, you fuck sticks! Remember that? Remember how confident he was that he was right and the whole wide world, the entirety of the scientific community, was wrong? I mean, I don't know if Rick Wiles from True News is out of the hospital or off the oxygen yet. And as odious and hateful as he is, and as much as I probably wouldn't grieve if there'd been a news release saying, "Whoop, well, he's gone off to Jesus." But I'm not gonna actively root for him to die of his own malignant stupidity. Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber, however, is doing exactly that. Ron in Raleigh points out, Dr. Fauci was named head of the National Institutes of Health when that stupid heifer was 10 years old. Stupidity is a rising tide in America. You thought Idiocracy was fiction. It's not. No, I've said for a long time it's a goddamn documentary. And it was only, they could only present the arguments in it as some sort of futuristic fiction because nobody would sit around and pay attention to it in the here and now. water, like from the toilet. Jeremy in Vermont, these fuck sticks, I don't get these asshats. At first it was only kills 1%, no big deal. Now it's a designer bioweapon and it's the end all to be all, end Fauci. Well, they've never been known for their consistency, Jeremy. Whatever works for their politics, that's what makes it all so cynical and so hateful. You know, we were talking earlier about Joe Manchin and whether he could grow as a human being and admit mistakes and become a better human for it. There is not the slightest chance. I mean, there's not a puncher's chance. There's not an I've got a dollar to place on a 1,000-to-1 three-legged horse at the track chance. Steve says, "Now I'm really pissed at Biden." Oh no, that was not my point. He knows this shit. He knows how crazy these people are. How in the fuck can he even let the word bipartisanship spring from his mouth when it comes to these people? I'm sorry, either Biden knows and ignores this shit or doesn't know. In either case, it's absolutely inexcusable. I don't necessarily think it's a binary. I think it's he knows, and he knows because of the media landscape in which we live, in which even the President of the United States, if a Democrat, has to bust his ass to get a message out. He knows he has to make certain things look like certain things. Does that make sense? Yeah, back to Margie.
So we need to be very clear about what was the intent of COVID-19 and these viruses that they...
COVID-19 is a virus. It's barely even alive. It cannot formulate intent, you fuckstick. I'm sorry, that's just a handy word.
They experiment with, like some sort of Dr. Frankenstein experiments. These are bioweapons. There's no other reason to create a virus that makes people sick, spreads so quick, and kills people.
She just leapt right past the create part. She's already assumed that to be true. Or at least convenient for her political purposes. There is still not a single piece of evidence that this is a created virus. Now, we do know for a fact it's a mutated virus. We've seen that in real time with all the variants. And we know from the theory of evolution that living things... That evolution is accomplished through mutation. I almost kind of wish Paul from Parts Unknown wouldn't hear this program, but he's probably gonna, and he's probably gonna have a fit.
There's no other intent, but it's a bioweapon. And then our American...
You don't buy the argument that say, hey, the gain of function is all because we've got to take these viruses and we got to power them up to look for vaccines and to look for other solutions in case somehow they come up with this. You don't buy the logic of that. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't buy it because I don't believe...
I don't buy it because I don't know it. Logic? What's logic? I'm not a logic. I'm not a Vulcan. I'm a Ferengi. Or maybe I'm the stupid space alien from an episode that never got made. You don't buy it. But the next answer, well, this is the giveaway.
Got to take these viruses and we got to power them up.
By the way, gain of function. That's the new bugbear. Gain of function, gain of function. She draws that gain of function like a gun. Because it is a method. It is a part of scientific research into disease, especially viral disease processes, to try to understand how they do mutate and how they become, how they leap to the human population. Because the vast majority of viral diseases that afflict humanity leapt from humans, or leapt from animals to humans. Sometimes in one step, sometimes in two or three steps. Again, I mentioned it a while back. Chicken pox is not called chicken pox because it makes you scratch like a chicken scratches the ground. It came from chickens! Cowpox. Now, smallpox is a descriptor of the size of the pox. And what does the prince say? Is it in Romeo and Juliet? A pox upon both your houses? Because poxes kill. And in the case of the Montagues and Capulets, it's true. But you're gonna hear gain of function if you aren't already. You're gonna hear gain of function to the same extent that we heard Hunter Biden. Because see, that's sciencey stuff, and we can't be doing none of that science.
To look for vaccines and to look for other solutions in case somehow they come up with this. You don't buy the logic of that. Is that right?
And Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber just sits there staring into the webcam like a cow looking at a new gate.
What you're saying?
No, I don't buy it because I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe in that type of so-called science. I don't believe in evolution. I believe
so-called science. Evolution is so-called science. I would say don't ever take a flu shot, but I'm sure she doesn't in the first place.
Even God. And there's these viruses.
Did you catch that, though? It's mutually exclusive. The reason she doesn't believe in evolution.
That type of so-called science. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God. And there's these viruses were not making people sick until they...
And see, that's so simple, and it's so easy for Emery and Marveline sitting in their matching Barca loungers in their trailer down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club to digest. It's so easy. I don't believe in science, in evolution. I believe in God. There's only one problem. You can't have biology. You cannot have biochemistry. You can't have zoology. Any of it without the theory of evolution. Because it's the only thing that cogently explains how things work. You know, I don't believe in gravity. I believe in God. But it's simple, and it's easy for people who have been turned into little automatons. I don't believe in automatons. I believe in God. It's so easy for the uneducated, or the barely educated, or the poorly educated, to swallow that. I believe in God. I don't believe in no evolution. I ain't no monkey. I ain't come from no monkey. As Earther says, I don't believe in 2 plus 4, 2 plus 2 equals 4, because God. God is greater than N, where N is any number, so there. I do believe in Duck, Duck, Goose, oddly. MR pigs, MR not pigs, MR ducks.
created them and made them into weaponize these viruses to be able to attach to our cells and make us sick. This has caused so many people to die all over the world. This is a bioweapon. You can call it, people can call it whatever they can for research and to create, you know, vaccinations, but there's no need for a vaccine if the virus doesn't make the human population sick to begin with. So I think it's a very disturbing type of research. I think it, and I don't think our American tax dollars should ever be funding it. And so I have a problem with that from the beginning, and I want an investigation.
And I've got one, an investigation. I don't think we ought to have no American scientists over there watching them neither. That's why our good God, Lord, Emperor Donald Trump took our took our demonic scientists out of China so that they wouldn't be participating in... Oh, God. I repeat my question, Steve says, and I thought I answered it earlier. Why the fuck does it matter if someone made it in the lab? It came here. Trump fucked up the response. People died. If Trump was so star-spangled right about the disease, why didn't he do what he needed to do to prevent it? I really... do, no kidding, hate Marjorie Taylor Greene and her ilk in the same way I hate people who kill other people. I understand that. But if you, but, Steve, it does matter. It does matter if it was made in a lab, because these fucking people are willing to launch nukes over that kind of shit. You know, I've mentioned on this program from time to time the dreams that I have. And I was so glad to wake up this morning, because I had had, and I've had it a couple of times. Agnes reminded me when I told her about it. I had this horrible, horrible nightmare. Maybe I need a vacation. But the nightmare was such that, And this is what makes dreams like this so weird. I was dreaming I was asleep. And in my sleep dream, there was a terrible, terrible rumble. So bad that it shook the house and shook the bed. And in the dream, I looked over to where our bedroom window is. And I saw a distant flash as bright as the sun. And I knew we were fucked. And I spent the rest of the nightmare trying to get my arms around Agnes. And in the dream, telling her over and over and over, I've always loved you. I love you now. I love you forever. And trying to hold her in such a way that when the shockwave came, she wouldn't be looking at it, but would be looking at me. And I had a professor eons ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and I rode one to class at WVU. And he used to, he would tell all of his classes, if you have a nuclear holocaust dream, please jot it down and give it to me. Because he was researching what living, and this is, you know, this is before 1985. It's like 1984, curiously enough. And he was trying to assess what was, what living in, you know, under the nuclear gun did to people's psyches. And I'm no Nostra dumbass, okay? But this is why it matters, Steve. Because these stupid fuckers would gladly start a war with a country that has billions of people versus a country that only has 300 million. Us. And they think nuclear wars are winnable. when one side used chemical weapons in the First World War, that immediately made it acceptable for the other side to use them in return. It matters. And what matters more is the fact that they are perpetuating this filthy lie. That's why it matters if it was made in a lab. But what matters more is that they claim it was made in a lab. Because that will stand perfectly well for their casus belli. And make no mistake, when they calculate, when the Marjorie Trader gangrene cucumbers of the world calculate the costs, they are payments that will be made by us, not them. So I have explained again why the made in a lab theory is so goddamn dangerous. And this is not Alex Jones stuff. This is me processing information, like Donald Trump asking, what's the good of having nuclear weapons if we can't use them? Yeah. Biden's in office. What if they weaponize, as they already are weaponizing, this bullshit claim it was made in a lab in order to fire up the furies of the deeply ignorant in America and change our political landscape again in 2022 and then in 2024? Do you remember how easily we went to war against a people who had never done anything to us? This is that. Come on, Steve from New York, says Megan. You're applying logic where there is none. These morons don't know or care that Trump fucked up the response or that it made its way here. They're looking for someone to blame for it that isn't Donald Trump, and bonus points if those someones are foreigners. That's all they know how to do. That's it. Period. End of story. Robin's right. They're looking to start a war over it because they think this whole thing is a fucking video game. That's how divorced from reality they are. Dear Lord, says Ron in Raleigh, just as Donald Trump is a walking Nigerian email scam, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a walking manifestation of Dunning-Kruger syndrome. She'll be reelected by her dim-witted constituents. She is dangerous, truly dangerous. About 2,100 years ago, a dude named Cato the Elder, who prided himself on his conservative family values, stood up every time the Roman Senate gathered in session and said one sentence, Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. And for the longest time, the senators went, oh, shut up. But he kept yelling it and kept screaming it. Until the Punic Wars became a thing. And then in the final manifestation of the Punic Wars, Cato the Elder, having been long gone, pretty sure, a casus belli and attacked Carthage when Carthage had done nothing to Rome. And at that point in time, they sacked Carthage and they salted the earth. And the general who oversaw it stood after it was all over and wept. Or so the historians tell us. Because he realized the thing he had just done in the name of his beloved republic would someday be done to it. And you know, that's another one of those things that we don't know about the ancient past that we certainly forgot about in 2002 when Dim Leader was saying, he tried to kill my daddy. Fuck Saddam. We're taking him out. And they brought our dead home in cardboard boxes. And W's mama said, oh, why should I bother my beautiful mind with how many are dead and how many are wounded? Why? That's why it matters. Because these fuckers are constantly bloodthirsty. They are forever yearning for war and death. Because as long as somebody else is fighting it, remember Dick Cheney, five deferments. Remember, W. Bush, champagne unit of the Texas Air National Guard, and didn't even have to show up. They won't be the ones fighting it. You remember when Bill O'Reilly said he hoped someone would nuke the Coit Tower in San Francisco? How many of the people who tune into Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Fox or Newsmuck, how many of them would actually celebrate if a nuclear device were to hit one of the states that they don't like? That is damned well where we are. And so it matters. It fucking matters. Because these are some bloodthirsty, warmongering fucks. And honest to Jesus, if the mushroom cloud went up over Boston or New York or Chicago, as long as it's not Nashville or Birmingham or anywhere in flyover country, they'd be fine with it. Of course, there'd be a grief orgy just like there was after September 11th, 2001, when people were eager to bomb the fuck out of Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11. But all of a sudden, they cared about New York. But now we're back to excoriating it. If you're a Republican, remember America's most hated senator, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, talking about New York values when he was having the shit scared out of him by Beto O'Rourke? Because I did. That's why it matters. Well, thank you, Billable Rick. Cowbell for you. I'm no Nostradamus. Thank you. Here's why I say this, Steve says. She and her cultists use the "it was made in a lab" BS to excuse the deaths of 900,000 people and Trump's lack of a response. Its creation in a lab means it has nothing to do with what our response should have been. As for your reasons why it matters, I agree with it. Sure, it's easy to view it as simple, cynical politics. But the reasons for going to war in Iraq and Afghanistan were simple, cynical politics, too. And we couldn't win either one of those. You got Nitwit Nero, and say, they should pay us $10 trillion. when the only person who owes the American people anything is Donald Trump? Because a competent, responsible president could have stopped it. We know that because of COVID, SARS-CoV-1. It was stopped. It did not get out of Asia. And we helped them stop it. Oh, well. Thank you for that, Cynthia. I'll have a look after the program. Mighty Mouse says, seems Mother Nature didn't sign the Geneva Convention. Germ warfare is just a way for Mom to teach us to be less dumb. She can teach. It's up to us to be able to learn. Wrapping things up, Brother Deacon Asa says, a virus that spreads so fast? What's this See You Next Tuesday talking about? It's been around for at least 18 months that we know of, and cumulatively, only 2% of the world population has been infected with it, and 0.04% have died of it, you ignorant. Don't you think if they were designing something deadly, they would have designed it to move a little faster, Marjorie, asshole? I haven't heard this much horse shit since the time Rush Limp Dick was still a going concern. Yeah, look at you, using your big primate brain, Asa. The people who take Steve Bannon for gospel and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber for gospel do not have those same critical thinking skills. Sorry, not barking at you. What's that, boss? Oh, okay. The boss says Asa gets a cowbell. There we go. Thank you, dear. Well, the kitty cat is at the door. It's time for me to attend to my nightly rounds. So, we never quite got around to Ralph's challenge. And so the fundraising goal for tomorrow will be, let's see, we did 1 to 10. Yeah. We did get down to 475. So thanks for that. Thank you, Jeremy. So that means 775 tomorrow. Again, I'm sorry. I wish there was some other way to do this. Thank y'all. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. You're a big reason the program remains on the air. Thanks to our a la carte contributors so very much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Thank you for popping in and moderating this evening. Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way in just a little under an hour, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first round of Malloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Billions and billions of hours served. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. If you have not done it before, and even if you have, it's a great time to reach out to your member of the House and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. Treat it as your last line of defense, not your first. Wash your hands. Keep wearing your mask as necessary and as appropriate. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance, and for God's sakes, If you hear somebody in your anywhere in your immediate vicinity saying, I don't believe in evolution, I believe in God, avoid that woman like the plague. Because she is. Later.